Welcome to the Anything Goes podcast. My name is Anna Richards, and this is my sacred space to have honest, real, empowering, fun, and big conversations. My mission is to not just motivate and inspire with each episode, but to push boundaries and teach you how to live your own life sovereignly, boldly, and unapologetically. I aim to bring you humor, depth, differing of opinions, and more. But one thing I can promise you is this is the podcast where anything goes. Welcome back to another episode of Anything Goes with Anna Rose. And this is a really, it's not hard. I was going to say it's a hard episode to record, but that's a lie. It's not hard. I suppose what it is vulnerable and, funnily enough, scary because, and I say funnily enough because I spoke up vehemently, hardcore, daily for 2 years during the BS of COVID. But I feel like I was in the, it ended up becoming like I was in the safety of my environment with it being Instagram. Now, obviously, we all know I got deplatformed. I've shared that on an episode, well, my welcome back episode. And then, furthermore, restarting an account, if you've listened to that episode, I got ridiculously shadow banned in the sense that you couldn't search me, mention me, tag me. I was basically a ghost on Instagram for 12 months to the day. And I committed that a couple of things. Number one, I had committed that my fight was done to the extent that until the governments reared their ugly heads again, if I ever felt like I needed a dog in the fight, I would speak up. And that is now. And I also said when that time came, if that time came, I would do it on the podcast because I can still get obviously taken off Apple here. I can still have haters go after me in the testimonials, which they do, by the way, which is so funny to me because stupidly, and I don't know why, I think Instagram was just such quick access to me and I had you all right there to quickly share during the 2 years I spoke up. But what I was going to say is I don't know why I never did use my podcast platform. I should have more in hindsight, but I never did. I never did one episode, shock horror, on this podcast, which I am well within my fucking rights to do, about anything that I spoke up during that period. Which I laugh and I'm like shaking my head at now because it was such a empowering, untouchable in a sense platform. Like they can't, you know, I can't be censored to the degree that Instagram and Facebook censor me. But I chose not to. Anyway, hilariously, my confused admirers still jumped into my testimonials and gave me one star and they were like, misinformation and there's nothing on my podcast about it. Now, for sure. Have at it. Go for it, obviously, because I know they're going to. But this is a necessary episode to film or to record because if you want to know how Anna Rose gets back in the fight quicker than anything, it's your children. Your kids is who and what will get me back in this fight faster than absolutely anything, faster than my reputation, faster than my fear of haters, faster than my concern about being deplatformed. Just doesn't matter. If it concerns your children and our next generation, our innocent babies and children, that will get me in the fight. So that's what happened today. And it bears an episode. It warrants a conversation for sure. So I'm not going to go into anything other than facts. I will be sharing Pfizer documents. I will be sharing facts from the High Court. This is not conspiracy. This is not opinion. This is pure and straight facts. If that offends, I don't really give a fuck. if that upsets, I do care, because it's a big reason why I stopped speaking up. Why I say offend, I don't give a fuck, because I know those that get offended are the ones that just can't see, what is it, the trees from the forest. They just refuse to accept that maybe they were lied to, and that breaks my heart for them, but I don't care anymore, because if you are still choosing to not take responsibility and look at the facts and take responsibility and say, maybe the government lied, actually, no, the government lied, then I don't care if it offends. But I understand, and why a big reason why I actually stopped speaking up on this, and I've said it a lot of times on my Instagram, is because I did what I needed to do from an integral standpoint in my own body and my own heart and my own mind to share the other side for as long as I needed to and could, to stop as many people as I could putting the poison in their body, or putting the untested, you know, poison that the government kept saying, it's safe, when it wasn't. There'll be podcast notes, it may get me a deplatform, let's try, from Pfizer documents themselves that I'll link. I'll link as well the website that actually has all of the Pfizer documents. This is just one of the vaccines as well, just Pfizer. AstraZeneca, all of them have similar, but I've got the Pfizer documents that were court ordered to be sealed. I can't remember. I think it was like 65 years. I don't know if you remember this in the news, but Pfizer had successfully got a court order that they were allowed to seal their reporting, essentially. So they're very weak, but very, like, why I say weak is like they just didn't care. They ticked some boxes with their testing, and their testing was abhorrent and showed how ineffective and how poisonous and bad their vaccines were. Then they sealed those reports and they sealed that information, locked it behind a court order that was not never to be seen or heard from again for 60. I'm being minimal here, but I know it was longer than this, but about 65 years. And then that got taken to court and overruled, and they leaked. Now, of course, none of the media shared this. None of the media shared this, but I've got the link, so it's in the podcast notes. So go nuts, go knock yourself out. I just literally scrolled at the time. I mean, I've read, there's 17 pages of documents. The one I'm going to share on this episode is literally just one of those documents on 17 pages, and that document is 300 something pages long. So imagine what is contained in these documents. But yeah, it's time to speak up. I absolutely will do it only if and when I feel it's necessary. But because this involves a little 6-month-old baby, I absolutely cannot stay silent. And again, so to tie that off, why I stopped speaking about it was because I did what I could for as long as I could to stop what I just felt and knew reading the other side, because it was to the best of some ability out there. I shared all that to say, hey, maybe it's not safe. I don't know. But I just think putting our trust in pharmaceutical companies when they don't have the best track record and governments have been known to lie. I don't know. I think there might be a rat. Could be, not sure, but could be. So all of that withstanding, that all happened. And then I stopped speaking up because it was done. And I always say, what's done is done. Who got the vax is who got the vax. Many of my closest family and friends, well, not friends, but family did. And I love and respect them because it was their decision. Because my entire time, it was about pro-choice. It was about body sovereignty. So if you chose to put it in your body, I love and respect you, truly. If you chose to not put it in your body, I love and respect you, truly. And I meant that with every cell in my being. And that so speaks to, like, I couldn't have been more authentic with that, because then I stopped speaking up because people had chosen either way. And I did love and respect either way. And so for me to then share this information that I do have and that I was reading and that I had access to, you all have access to it. Everyone has access to it. You just have to go looking. For me to keep sharing that, to me, just hurt those who got vaxxed. And I respected and love, I still do, those who got vaxxed. So it wasn't fair. It just, it would still be a barrage of, you're in a lot of trouble, you know, like it's going to hurt. There's going to be some health implications, lots of them. So it wasn't fair. However, what has transpired over the last 24 hours that I just saw on Instagram has compelled me to speak. And I'm only speaking up, and I am going to share some things. I will, you know, obviously link the report that I'm going to speak to and, you know, some articles and things like that. But it more, what I more want to speak to is how the fuck we got here and how deplorable and abhorrent it is, and how the fight isn't over, and how if we as a society and a nation think that it's okay, and I'll get to the story. I think if you follow me on Instagram, you know where this is going. But as a society and a nation, if we think it's okay what happened in this instance, we've already lost, because it's not okay to kidnap a child. It's not okay to, you know, rip a child out of its cot as a police officer and against parents' wills and take it for a procedure. I'll get into the story that could have been done if they were religious, all the things, okay? Like, it's not okay on any level. And we got here because we didn't take radical responsibility as a nation and as a society in standing up for what was right and questioning when we thought it was wrong as a society. I know many of us did. But I think what I hope to instill at the end of this is, whether you are a vaxxed or unvaxxed, alien, black, white, non-binary, female, male, whatever you are, whoever you identify as, religious, whatever, it's not okay what occurred. And I hope that as mothers and fathers and aunties and women and men, we can look at this situation and go, you know what? If it does come to our shores, because it happened in New Zealand, we won't allow it. Like, it's not okay, and enough, because it's ridiculous. So the story goes, to back up, Senator Malcolm Roberts, it's been going on in New Zealand, obviously news, all the things, I don't watch it, but Senator Malcolm Roberts had shared a video that these parents had posted, and a six-month-old baby in New Zealand needed a life-saving, for sure, heart surgery. So needed a life-saving heart surgery that the parents were all for, okay? However, obviously in heart surgery, it requires potentially a blood transfusion. The parents rightfully, 100% rightfully, requested, very basically, yep, no stress, but we're asking that that blood transfusion only come from unvaccinated blood. 100%. We absolutely, sorry everyone, but there's too much science and there's too much proof from the vaccine companies themselves. Go look at the documents in the podcast notes, where the adverse health reactions of what that poison is doing and has done to human beings, let alone babies. I wouldn't put that in my body if you paid me $1 million, more, $10 million, $100 million. Not for me. I value my life too much. So as parents, they said, yes, absolutely. Like, let's get this operation going, but we will not consent unless you can confirm that the blood is vaccinated, unvaccinated. Now, pause. Quick pause. 2 points to make here, because there's some people that will go, I would never do that. You know, if I was a mother and my child needed heart, you know, life-saving surgery, I wouldn't care. Well, I think you would. I think you would if you really looked at it all and you knew the serious implications. But further pause, you would fight that, because for many Australians, or for many New Zealanders, for example, lots of people are allowed to pick what blood they get. Jehovah's Witnesses are one of them. So Jehovah's Witnesses, against God's will, like they refuse blood transfusions because it's against God's will to receive blood. So Jehovah's Witnesses going into operations are allowed to donate their own blood and put their own blood back in their body. Okay. So, God, I wish I spoke to the parents before all this. I'm like, if they had only have said they were Jehovah's Witnesses, and what's good for the, what is it? What's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? So what's good for one should be good for all. So Jehovah's Witnesses have that choice. For example, I had that choice. So this kind of, like, I suppose tugged at my heartstrings a little bit more, because I remember 2010, I had a major jaw surgery, and because it was not a rushed or an emergency surgery, it was a planned, booked surgery. A risk of that surgery is that I would absolutely lose blood. And I did, actually. I had my own blood put back into me. So part of the risks of my surgery was blood loss. And I was told I had to, it wasn't a choice, because I was able, willing and able, I had to donate my own blood to the hospital, I suppose. So when and if I lost blood during the surgery, my own blood got put back into my body. So it's a potential. It's a possibility. It happens every day. I think this is my frustration. This is not rare. This is not unusual. This is not anything other than they just didn't want to comply. They felt like, I feel, they were going to set dangerous precedents that people could request whose blood went in their body, which, newsflash, medical industry, that's going to be a problem for you in now and the future, because I would refuse, unless I'm on that deathbed and I don't get a say, which I don't think will ever happen, touch wood. I wouldn't accept a vaccinated person's blood. No offense, no offense, with love. I say that with love. Just like I'm sure a vaxxed person would say, oh, I don't want to receive, I want vaccinated. We're more whatever, it's better antibodies, whatever their argument is, I respect and understand. Just like I expect them to respect and understand my decision. So this all went down. They had a donor. They weren't being difficult, in my opinion. They were like, look, we've got the person that can donate, obviously, for their baby's blood type. And the hospital said, no, absolutely not. And it went to the High Court in New Zealand. So also I'm like, kind of, they had time to go to the courts. So they definitely had time to just pull some blood from this donor that was willing and able and pop it on ice and pop it in the baby if need be. So they take it to the High Courts. The hospital takes it to the High Courts, and the High Courts rule that the High Courts have become, so the state became legal guardian for medical decisions for this 6-month-old baby, and the parents had no say. So the care and the decisions medically for this child got taken out of the parents' hands because of their request to put unvaccinated blood back into their baby, which is so fair and reasonable. Jehovah's Witnesses do it every fucking day. Let me reiterate that. This happens every single day. Take the emotion of the word vaccinated out of it, or unvaccinated. This happens every single day. Okay. So goes to the High Court. The High Court rule that no, the state is now responsible for all of the medical decisions for your child, 6-month-old baby. You have no say. The video that I then watch, which is on Senator Malcolm Roberts's page, is 4 armed police officers sitting by the child's bedside with the parents, trying to, at the time, calmly, justify why they're about to forcibly remove the baby from the cot to go into surgery. And the parents begging and grief-stricken, saying, please, please, please don't. This is so ridiculous, so on and so forth, whereby an additional police officer aggressively walks in the room, stands by the bed to protect a nurse who then grabs the baby and quickly exits the room. So kidnaps the baby. This is known now, that nurse and those police officers kidnap the baby against the parents' will. And off the baby goes to receive its medical procedure that was unapproved from the parents, whilst the mother is crying, and not screaming, but crying her eyes out. I'd be screaming, crying her eyes out, calmly trying to tell these police officers, let me see my baby. I don't even care now. You know what? I don't care what happens. As in, yep, okay, you win. Just let me have access to my baby. I don't give a fuck. You know what? You've won. Just let me have access to the baby. And they stop her. She's not allowed to see the baby. Now, none of that is okay. Not one part of this is okay. None of it is okay. And if you're a mother, I don't judge. So I suppose I'd be like, if you're a mother that's like, no, but like, go put yourself in that position. Put yourself in that position before you judge is all I want to say. So the frustrating thing for me was I then go, so I put this up, I share an Instagram story and I say, you know, I'm not going to share it because I know I'll get deplatformed and shadow banned, but go and watch this video. This is sort of the gist of it. And I have outrage, horror, you know, oh my God, how can this be happening, etc. Then I have a couple of mums, which I do understand and respect always, say, God, if it was my child, you know, I just wouldn't care. And I beg to disagree if you knew the whole truth. Now, I now refer to this document that I have in front of me. It's a Pfizer document, so an official Pfizer document that was concealed, like I stated. It was a concealed Pfizer document. And again, there's 17 pages. I should have counted how many, but there are, let me count on one page. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. Oh, here you go. It's right at the bottom of this page. So I was going to say there's 25 documents on this one page and I'm on page one and there's 17 pages, but at the bottom of the page, it says there are 414 documents. So 414 documents from Pfizer were successfully concealed and then unsuccessfully concealed, and the courts ordered they had to be published. Media never shared them. I'll put them in the podcast notes. I trust I won't get pulled down because yet again, this is the wild fucking thing. I'm not sharing conspiracy. I am not sharing mistruths. I am not sharing unfactual, emotional things. I'm about to share a document from the pharmaceutical company themselves that the media chose not to share. That's fine, but I am. But I'll get deplatformed because we can't have the truth getting out there, right? But I just want to take a second, and I don't even have a list. Like, I will share a video. I suppose, like, I'll put it on my Instagram. I'm just going to scroll, right, through its pages and pages and pages and pages and pages of subjects reporting at least one adverse event from dose one of the Pfizer vaccine to 6 months after dose two. So these are subjects, they're people that received the Pfizer vaccine. And again, this is just Pfizer, but the same stands across all pharmaceutical companies. But I will zone in on this. And this is the vaccine that went into the blood of a subject as per the Pfizer report. And these are at least one adverse event, but there's, so at least one, but in more cases than not, very many. So there's 65 here, 10, 36, 24, 145, 12, 153 for skin tissue disorders. Before I read this out, I just want to take a second to explain why I'm doing this. I'm doing this because when parents took the time to be curious and question the effectiveness and the safety of the vaccine, okay, and then against all odds and against being ostracized, criticized, ridiculed, cut off from society, possibly losing their jobs, most did, for not getting it, then their sweet, beautiful little six-month-old baby, so they choose to not then get the vaccine, like the smart people they are, against all odds, then choose not to obviously vaccinate their six-month-old baby, smart. Then their baby needs, you know, heart surgery, and they ask a simple, fair request, which happens every single day in Australia. I don't know about New Zealand, but absolutely in Australia. Jehovah's Witnesses, point in case. My own surgery. I just want to reiterate that again, point in case. But I truly believe, because of the emotion of the word,
vaxxed versus unvaxxed. They were denied that request, even though they had the donor, even though they could have, like, it was all there to just not be a thing, to not be a non-issue. After all of that, to then it go to the high court and their medical rights, like their parent rights of their six-month-old baby be stripped and be put into the state. Now, if anything goes wrong in that surgery, the surgeons do not and will not come out to say, this is what's going down, you know, do you consent? They have no say or right in that. They don't own that child for medical decisions pre, during, or post-surgery. Just think about that for a second. And if that's honestly okay, then you've lost your way morally and ethically a little bit, and you have to take some responsibility for that. Because if you have, I don't even have children, and I'm so acutely aware of how wrong that is. Now, backing that up, why I'm so okay with their parents, with the parents obviously deciding that to say, can we please just not transfuse blood of the vaccinated, is because I'm, this entire podcast, actually, I've had the report up. Prior to the podcast, I've reread the report again. Prior to that, I've read this report and many reports about pregnancy, spontaneous abortion, the list goes on, infertility, all of it, from these reports, from the drug company themselves, for so long. I've read all this. So I know the vaccinated, the adverse risks that are carried with having been vaccinated are so insanely high. It's just not a risk I want to take, and I don't need to take as a sovereign human being, just like you're sovereign and you got to choose if you did get the vaccination. Okay. So when parents say, I just don't want that risk of all those adverse reactions and effects in my 6-month-old baby, they get to make that decision, just like religious groups do every single day. Nope, it's against God's will. I need to donate my own blood. Well, guess what? It's against my will to put someone that has put that vaccine in their body that carries such a high risk of injury and reaction now. I just don't want to put my 6-month-old child in way of or risk's way. That's fair. So I'm going to just read out some of the adverse reactions that have been listed and proven in Pfizer's own reporting that these parents tried to protect their child from. Okay. I don't even know where to start. That's the thing. It's so bad. Okay. I'll just start. I'm literally just scrolling. Insomnia. Here we go. Back pain, neck pain, muscle spasms, arthritis, joint stiffness, limb discomfort, muscle twitching. Oh, funny that. How many stories have you heard about that? Pain in jaw, bone disorder, bone pain, joint effusion, muscle fatigue, spinal stenosis, spinovial cyst, trigger finger, prostate cancer, lipoma, breast cancer, adenemia benign, adrenal gland cancer, bladder cancer, fibroma. There's some hard ones. Headache, dizziness, lethargy, migraines, sinus headache, nerve compression. There's so many like hard seizures, anxiety, depression, irritability, sleep disorder, panic attacks, restlessness, urinary retention, bladder irritation, renal cysts. I'm just scrolling page by page. Testicular pain, cough, asthma. These are all really hard to say. Rashes, obviously. Night sweats, acne. What's that one? Skin discoloration, skin irritation, skin ulcer. Miscarriage, spontaneous abortion, hematoma, varicose veins. The list goes on and on and on. Severe incident rates of at least one adverse reaction, 37. Like, it's just, I can't implore you enough to take, I don't know, half an hour, not 10 minutes, to just go and scroll. You don't even need to like because it's all like numbers and letters. There's no rhyme or reason to a lot of these documents. You just have to kind of get like pick a number, click download and have a read, and you will be shocked. The first page is XPT files, so they're really hard to download. But starting from the second and third page, it starts as PDFs. So knock yourself out. But these are just some of the adverse reactions the parents tried. Oh, myocarditis was in there. Interestingly as well, I am reading articles now that are coming out saying how there are 13 to 17% unexplained deaths in Australia. Some of them were, I can't say the word, it's like ischemia. That's an adverse reaction listed in this report. You can't even make it up anymore. So for me, when I hear that parents just try to make a simple request to say, please don't put the blood that carries these proven adverse reactions in it, in our 6-month-old baby, for that to be denied and then for his care to go to the state and for the parents to watch their child get kidnapped, that is what happened. He got kidnapped from the cot. Police stopped the mother from being able to access her child, stopped her from leaving the room. For that to happen, she ended up, I believe, getting access, when I say access, was able to be in the same room as him, wasn't allowed to sleep, wasn't allowed to touch him, like all of these horrific, horrific instances that should never have occurred. For that to know as a human being that that is just over in New Zealand, if that happened anywhere in the world, and I'm sure it's happening more, it was just this story that got brought to my attention. I can't stay silent on that. I just think it's so grossly unfair that for some people in society, myself included, I was allowed to donate my own blood. There was no problem with that 10 years ago. There's no problem with that every single day for Jehovah's Witnesses. There's no problem with that with, I have no qualms in assuming that it would be multiple patients that enter booked procedures like this one. And it wasn't an emergency because they had plenty of time to go to the high courts. That are allowed and able to donate their own blood. But the moment we start putting this vaxxed versus unvaxxed emotion into it, courts go, oh, it's too dangerous. No, we're going to take complete control of your child. You have no say. And that's medical tyranny. At the end of the day, it is medical tyranny. And for me, it began 2 years ago with complicit and complacent citizens saying, okay, we just won't question a thing. Wear a mask? Sure, no stress. Even though science very quickly caught up and was saying, actually, it doesn't stop transmission. Actually, vaccines aren't effective. Actually, all of it was there. And if we just spent more time digging and asking better questions and not believing everything we read and everything we listened to from the media and the governments, point in case, I'll make a real point of this. The government, I remember watching Scott Morrison come out on television saying, don't be an idiot. If you're pregnant, it is, or breastfeeding, it is safe to receive the vaccine. Safe. Go in droves, like by all means. Pfizer's own documents stipulate it is not safe nor effective for pregnant women or breastfeeding, so they should be kept away from it. Right? So they lied. You got lied to. We got lied to. And so for a parent now to stand up for their 6-month-old baby or any child, a 2-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, a fucking 16-year-old, for a parent to stand up and say, actually, I'm going to protect my child. This is our decision. Like, let's go find a healthy donor. I would have freaking donated. Like, I'm happy to do that. For example, then fine. If vax want vax blood, it wouldn't be that hard. If unvax want unvax blood, knock yourselves out. I'm sure this is the wild world we live in, but unfortunately the government got us here and we as citizens are the ones who are going to get us out of here. And we do that by not accepting moments like this and not turning away and not ignoring the fact that a 6-month-old did get kidnapped against her parents' wills. And even when the mother then tried to comply and say, okay, I just don't even care, just let me have my child, they refused because the high courts had ordered and they were just following orders. funny that, because I can point to so many times in history where that's failed fucking terribly. We were just following orders. So as a society, I don't think that we can do better. We can stop turning away when it feels yuck and awkward and hard. We can keep questioning. We can keep rebelling respectfully. And if anything pops back up, like if the mask mandates, which is proven that they're more unsafe than safe. So when people wear them now, I respect you. If you want to put one on because it makes you feel better, go for it. I genuinely am like, go for it. But don't think for a second that I'm going to comply and be complicit in that BS anymore. I never was. But especially today. So that's how we stop this. People go, what can I do? What can I? You can stop turning away. You can stop turning a blind eye. You can stop saying it's done now. Because I think that the fight, I mean, it's not over yet. That's what I'll say. I know the fight's not over yet. And so as hard as it was to sit here and record this, in a sense, as much heat as I know that I'll get, as much as I know in years to come, people, you know, come back and try and cancel because I will grow a massive legacy and huge brands, it's worth it. This is the moment for me. These are the moments that are worth it. It's when it's like, enough, no way, not on my watch. I'm going to give this a voice. I'm going to say line in the sand, it's not okay. And I'm going to use my voice for what I believe truly is the betterment of society. So that's all I'm saying that you can do. When they said wear a mask, just, you know, let's lock you down, which has been proved so ineffective and so dangerous. And again, I spoke about that for 2 years. This is wrong. This just doesn't seem right. I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty sure being locked down for one case seems a bit fucking ridiculous. And again, that was proved right. So we as a society just need to stop looking away. Now it's done. Pay attention to what is going on with stories like this. The people that are sharing it, again, of course, are getting shadow banned, deleted, deplatformed, and persecuted. But hopefully this gets out there on this podcast. So yeah, basically I just hope in days, weeks, months, and years to come, we can look back on this time when governments are still doing the wrong thing and trying to overstep their mark and go, that was the period, that period just after all the bullshit, that we did say enough and we did actually stop complying and we weren't complicit in the wrongdoings of the government trying to control our lives with an inch of their lives. Because taking state custody of a 6-month-old baby is so wrong when it was such a fair request that occurs every single day. And I will leave it there. Please go spend some time, pour a wine, pour a coffee, pour a tea, go into the podcast notes, look at the documents I've shared, spend some time. Oh, don't, if it's too much, don't. I mean, just know that they're there when you're ready. But yeah, it's all out there. You just need to look. You just need to be open to it. You just need to question. You just need to stay curious. And you just need to say, enough is enough. Not on my watch. No more. All right. Until next time, you guys. Bye. Welcome back. Thanks so much for tuning in. And as always, I hope you got something out of this conversation that you can use to challenge your own status quo. If you liked what you heard, it would mean the world to me if you shared this episode on your socials to help get this podcast more out in the world. Don't forget as well to tag me personally at @TheReal_AnnaRose so I can thank you personally. If you're also loving the conversations, leaving a review on iTunes by going to the podcast, scrolling down and clicking leave review will help even more amazing humans that need to find me and these conversations find me. As always though, I am eternally grateful that you're tuning in, and until the next episode, know that I am always cheering on your sovereignty and success.